this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Again, I want to thank all of you who are supporting the program by going to groundzeroplus.com. There you can hook up with the chat room. You can hook up with all the information you need about the move that we're doing and about subscriptions and all of this. There is a chat room. There's all kinds of other things that we're talking about. There's going to be a webinar we'll talk about coming up. It'll be March 15th. And this webinar will be with All American Assets. That's a gold and silver webinar. We're going to do a bunch of them because we want you to hear what Alan has to say and learn some things. It's more or less a seminar to learn, and it's free. Just go to ClydeWebinar.com. That's ClydeWebinar.com. And we're also offering something new for the Ground Zero fundraiser. And this is what's happening. Those people are going to go to groundzeroplus.com, and they will find links to the Ground Zero fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. Ground Zero needs your support now. Those who donate, doesn't matter how much you donate, but if you donate to our GoFundMe, we are going to have a drawing that will occur for five individuals that'll get a free 2-year subscription to our new digital membership platform that's being built as we speak. So, yes, you will be able to get a 2-year subscription. You'll be one of the lucky ones, hopefully, randomly selected that have donated. And so right now, if you go to groundzeroplus.com, find the link and go to the GoFundMe, you can become eligible for this drawing for a 2-year subscription to our new platform on Ground Zero Plus. Last night, we had a problem with the show. Again, we are facing a lot of, I guess you could say, underhand stuff going on. We can't explain a lot of it. We had a power failure. First the internet, then the rest of the show. All stations in the studios we were in went down. We had no idea. No alarms went off, and so we were on the air for a little while. But I don't know how much of the show you heard. I want to do the show again because I thought it was a very important topic. And I just wanted to expand a little more on this topic that we were discussing last night. I was thinking to myself, because we were getting into the ancient astronaut stories, you know, the idea of ancient astronauts and the idea of what would be spiritual security with regard to disclosure. And I was thinking to myself, one of the first times I heard about the idea of aliens, I guess you could say ancient aliens or alien astronauts, or at least aliens that are considered old ones or old gods, was the Cthulhu mythos. And one of the most intriguing ideas found in the Cthulhu mythos is the suggestion that extraterrestrial beings arrived on Earth in the distant past, and they were responsible for ancient works of monumental stone architecture and inspired mankind's earliest mythologies and religions. Now, some people say that Lovecraft's work is responsible in part for the idea of ancient astronauts, which, believe it or not, began to take shape in the 1970s because, well, we had UFO cults that were sprouting everywhere. We had Raelians, the Aetherius Society, Unarians, Scientology, Heaven's Gate. I mean, these guys have been around for a while. We know what happened to Heaven's Gate. But the idea of a relationship between God and alien visitors, both past and present, that captured the imagination of a lot of people. And a lot of UFO investigators, and of course those who are believing in the cover-up. And I mean, this has been evolving a long time. It's been evolving ever since, because we have opinions, not only about the scientific aspects of aliens, okay? We have spiritual experiences, which, you know, they find a halfway deal or a halfway part or a halfway path with science to produce what is called the alien abduction experience or the contactee fifth kind phenomena. Back in the 1970s, this basic premise was resurrected as the ancient astronaut theory, which at first was seen as a fringe hypothesis. Eric von Däniken's book, Chariots of the Gods, is what I remember when I was a kid, a television adaptation, and the In Search of Astronauts, the ancient astronauts. Rod Serling, he did a special on this idea. I remember going to the theater near my home to check out films that were produced by Sun Classic Motion Pictures, In Search of Noah's Ark, In Search of Sasquatch, In Search of, you know, Chariots of the Gods. It was an amazing time to hear these theories. It really challenged the mind. And this is something, again, that was programmed into me at a young age, especially in a dispensationalist household, the idea that we have intelligence far advanced than our own, responsible for mankind's evolution. And though mainstream science doesn't recognize extraterrestrial intervention in human history, the theory continues to receive exposure, like on the History Channel. We see cable television documentaries. We see it in magazines, and there are a lot of books about the topic. And the truth is that, you know, our knowledge is limited. It's more of an exercise in interpretation. But what we have is we have archaeology, we have biblical history, we have, paleontology, I mean, just all of the different ologies, I guess, that can be observed and interpreted as a thrill ride through this narrative of extraterrestrial meaning to all godlike and alien encounters. The concept of a god as a universal mind in space had a long history dating back to the early Greek philosophers who speculated on the nature of being on other worlds. They also had theories on panspermia or species being planted, creating a thriving garden where mankind suddenly arose. Sound familiar? Yeah. Garden of Eden. And this often felt like, well, the idea that life existed on many planets, it was across the vastness of space. They speculate on that. There were philosophers. I mean, they didn't propose the visitation of alien beings, but they did say, or they did have an idea, that maybe the gods were kind enough to create us and that we owed them for our lives. Charles Fort, I've told people many times I'm a Fortean studier, 1919, that was Charles Fort's book, The Book of the Damned. He speculated that old stories of demons could be related to undesirable visitors from other planets. Though he didn't draw a firm connection between devils and aliens, he suggested that other worlds may have, well, communicated with ours in the past, and they left behind advanced technology, or they attempted to colonize the Earth, but Fort really didn't claim that such things actually happened. He was only speculating that they happened. So there's no way to tell whether the creatures were alien, transdimensional, spiritual, or even imaginary. Perhaps, you know, maybe telepathy, communications, you name it. That's how Fort thought. He was very open-minded. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. And we'll be back. listening to Ground Zero. I'm Clyde Lewis. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. So go back to H.P. Lovecraft. He talked about aliens that lived on this planet in the past, and of course they went back and they're sleeping now. They're going to come back. Okay, that's part of the mythos that we read when we read Cthulhu and all the other scary gods and aliens that he talked about in his books back then. Then we have Charles Fort, who talked about how he wondered if there were undesirable visitors from other worlds that could be mistaken as demons. But he never said they were demons. He just said they could be mistaken as such. And I follow Charles Fort. I've been a Fortian for some time. But Fort didn't say that this actually happened. Fort was very cautious and careful. He said, well, this may have happened. There's no way to tell whether they're, you know, ultra-terrestrial or something else, some spiritual thing. And here we are, decades, nearly 100 years, wondering the same things. But what we're doing is we're just looking through a keyhole still. And there are many people who still wish to suppress the knowledge of our relationships with beings from other realms. And we're looking at, like I say, nearly 100 years for some, 80 years, especially if you want to go to the government and say, okay, for 80 years now, governments around the world have long covered up information about UFOs and extraterrestrial life. And over the mythology, if you look at the times, the mythologies, and the mythos, all this has been growing around the phenomenon, which includes the idea of men in smoky rooms, men in black, all gathered around saying, what are we going to do about the alien thing? What are we going to do about disclosure? The idea of, and you see, here's the thing. The narrative is changing, okay? We've had UFO, UFO, UFO for many years. Now it's UAP, okay? I can tell you now that the narrative is changing again for alien intelligence, or ET, extraterrestrials. We're now talking about non-human intelligence, okay? That's a whole new different thing. Non-human intelligence. It said that there's like, you know, there's a non-human intelligence that's out there. I mean, if you read the Bible, you believe in non-human intelligence. If you believe in God, you believe in non-human intelligence. If you believe in angels, you believe in non-human intelligence. Demons, you believe in non-human intelligence. Now, again, I like to separate my demons from my angels from my whatever, but if you say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in aliens, and it's not about aliens. It's about non-human intelligence. Something out there is guiding us from space. Something out there is guiding us from heaven. For those of us that believe, we pray to heaven because we believe that something out there, a non-human intelligence, is guiding this planet. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to figure out what to believe. Because the secrecy has spawned countless conspiracy theories which have made finding the truth more difficult. But we have all been hearing about breakthroughs. We've heard about whistleblowers. But still, we're dealing with hearsay. Hearsay until concrete disclosure is given. So in the case you don't know, we do have an upswell of Republicans and Democrats and others who want to open up the books. They want to end what Stanton Friedman called the Cosmic Watergate. We've got Chuck Schumer and others. We got people like Marco Rubio. We got Anna Paulina Luna. I'm just going down the list of all these, you know, lawmakers. Comer and Luna, they sent letters to Secretary of State Marco Rubio. We got Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth and CIA Director John Ratcliffe. They're requesting a briefing on all UFO, UAP-related records in the possession of whomever. The ultimate goal here is to deliver transparency to the American people. Because what is going on? What, the Epstein list was supposed to come out today. It was a whole lot of nothing. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what's going to happen when that gets released? So, again, it's about transparency. All the stuff that's been hidden. Light is going to disinfect it all. They're putting light on it. I don't know what they're going to do with the Epstein list, but they put out Kennedy's records, Robert F. Kennedy's records, Martin Luther King Jr. And so after that happened, a number of lawmakers said, okay, Trump, here's the deal. You've done John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. Now we need to have transparency on UAP. And, you know, he kept jabbing the president. When you have Schumer jabbing the president on something like UFOs, it's no accident. There was a lot of legislation that's been introduced to Congress. Bipartisan Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Disclosure Act. There's also another type of act where they're saying they want to release secrets that are over 70 years old. And so all of these shadowy elements of the government have secretly retrieved and are attempting to retrieve, or they're attempting to reverse engineer things that they say belong to non-human intelligence or unknown origin. This is something that's been created by non-human intelligence. They're not saying aliens, okay? They're not saying ET. They're saying non-human intelligence. Okay, so you got the 64-page legislation defining non-human intelligence, and it would have required the government to take possession of any and all recovered craft, any biological evidence of non-human intelligence transferred to private defense contractors. Although the House ultimately quashed key elements of the legislation, Rubio was one of the five Senate co-sponsors of the bill. So if you look at Rubio, you look at Radcliffe, you look at Schumer, every one of them, Mike Waltz, and even Trump, Donald Trump, they've made remarkable statements about what we would call disclosure in recent years. But as we reported weeks ago, there's been the rumor that while most of those on the Hill are concerned about the threat to national security, we have a lot of people that are concerned about whether or not UFOs pose a threat to spiritual security. Namely, things that are related to God and what the discovery means for most major religions. Now, we knew that was going to be a problem, right? We knew that they were always, but it seemed as though religion was more capable of embracing this. That's why the Catholics have their telescope in Arizona. That's why several religions have said, well, it wouldn't bother us all that much, because if it is non-human intelligence, not necessarily alien, not necessarily grays with big eyes and whatever, but if we say it's non-human intelligence, then that's all you need to say. Because, again, God is non-human intelligence. Angels are non-human intelligence. Demons are non-human intelligence. You know, because they talk about these things. Now, they're not all the same, but they have some of the same characteristics. And so, and then, of course, you know, we look into the technology. We look into reverse engineering advanced weaponry. We look at the biology of the alien form, whether or not it's like ours. And there seems to be this confident possibility that by 2029, we'll have confirmed the eventual contact with extraterrestrial intelligence or non-human intelligence. Because about five decades ago, we sent a bunch of stuff out, and now we're waiting for the reply. We're thinking, what, 14 light years away, should be reaching them, should be coming back. And so when you look at UFO disclosure, the bright side of all of it is this. The last 5 years have been fantastic. The holdup, though, is connected to the religious world from what I can gather, and the threat of, you know, the threat to spirituality, whether it's black magic, whether it's witchcraft. But see, there's also that threat to science that I still think people are holding on to. And what if they are these aliens or whatever they are, what if they're more like us? And we realize, because think about it, 3% difference between us and the monkey, 3% difference, and that's what, and what that 3% gives us is communication, a belief in God, and what you know about your own demise. We learn to talk, we learn to communicate, we learn to talk about things like whether or not there's something out there, some non-human intelligence. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. If you don't believe in aliens, do you believe in non-human intelligence? And do you believe that it's out there watching us from a distance? 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
We We homed in on its beacon
and found something never recorded once in over 300 surveyed worlds. A creature that gestates inside a living human host. Yes. These are your words. And has concentrated acid for...
That's right.
You hear that? It's pauses. Uh-huh. Do you hear the pauses? That's when we realize it's a pattern.
And so we see the difference in intelligence. So when we meet aliens from outer space, chances are they will have been descended from predators of some sort. They'll have some way to manipulate the environment and communicate their knowledge to the next generation.
So I assign different graphic values to each block, group, and tone, and I came up with this. Hello.
Oh my God. Is that what I think it is?
DNA.
You see it?
Yeah. It's a model of DNA.
So somebody left that thing here. Okay. Somebody other than human.
That DNA looks human.
No, it's not. It's missing the last pair of chromosomes, see?
It's close. It's damn close.
Close? The difference between man and ape is less than 3% genetic material. But that 3% gives you Einstein, Mozart.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, he's right.
So I think when we meet alien life from outer space, they may be genetically and cybernetically enhanced.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. So disclosure, of course, batted around. Of course, Trump's been very transparent about a lot of things. Now the Epstein list, what, that's been a nothing. But we're moving into close territory, and a lot of people are feeling uncomfortable about what this means religiously if we're talking about alien life in space. But is it alien life, or are we looking at a non-human intelligence? Advanced non-human intelligence, because there's plenty of non-human intelligence surrounding us at home. Right now on planet Earth, there's non-human intelligence everywhere. We could look for a non-human intelligence singularity where, like, monkeys or dogs or cats or anything else could become smarter than us, start talking. Wouldn't that freak us out? But see, that's the thing, is that this close territory can be very uncomfortable. UFO events are transformative realities for the people who experience them, and they're not necessarily good. Religious events are sometimes bad. Sometimes they're good. I mean, the bad things, of course, are exorcisms and possessions. Then we have these spiritual visitations. But again, we have a being coming down in a beam of light, okay, appearing out of nowhere. These events have been talked about in biblical scriptures. They've been reported in many historical papers. Even in the Catholic historical record, there are no planes, no rockets. People were just seeing things in the sky. They were interpreting them in various ways. Angels who come down, beams of light, columns of fire. Apparently they look like us, but they're in spiritual or ghostly form, similar to the aliens who come down in beams of light, and they return to their ships. Or if you're using the biblical parlance, we can call it a chariot of fire. Now, are we ready for an event that would decenter humanity? That's the point. Okay, it's not about whether or not they're going to come and attack us and occupy this planet. It's not whether or not they're demons and they're here to deceive us into a new world order. No, it's about whether or not we're ready to be decentered. You decenter humanity, people panic, because we like to think that we're up on top of the food chain, and we'd like to think that we are superior, that we're special, that we're unique. We humble humans have been on our knees praying to a powerful God that we've been told revealed himself in many forms. And we've been told that this God's emissaries are angels that look and speak just like we do. So what are the chances, beyond the reports of mutations from harsh reaches of space, there are interdimensional beings that enter through wormholes or stargates, and they look human, or they share similar DNA traits as we do. If this is the case, then I think this would be seen as good news rather than bad news. It'd be like it'd spawn a new Copernican revolution, or maybe it would be the answer to Darwinian evolution. The human becomes godlike. But that's something that what Lucifer said in the beginning of time. He said, well, you become like gods, knowing good from evil, the forbidden fruit. But isn't it similar to what it is on earth and it is in heaven, according to the Lord's Prayer? See, that's the thing. It's a continuation of the process that humans have experienced for thousands of years. It's a fundamental religious impulse. It's an act of eternal progression. We toil away in this earthly trial of tears only to be renewed into a different form, something that we see as angelic, something that the new spirituality determines to be alien assistance in the golden age. And I often wonder about people who say that they don't believe in non-human intelligence and yet at the same time contradict themselves by saying, well, I believe in God. Well, isn't God a non-human intelligence? He's an advanced non-human intelligence, I'd say. I mean, you have different forms of non-human intelligences that display themselves in different ways to people. Even amongst the Greeks and the Romans and their gods, different non-human intelligences speaking to just the little people. From the times of Adam and Eve, the world has been guided by non-human intelligence. Noah, he was told to build an ark by a non-human intelligence. Moses received the Ten Commandments from a non-human intelligence. Even Jesus himself claimed that he too was imbued with non-human intelligence as he transmogrified into a god and left the world in a pillar of light with other transmogrified beings. And then if you look at the 8th chapter of John, what does Jesus say? He says, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. I am from above, I am from heaven, I am from space. I am not of this world. I carry with me not only the human intelligence, but the non-human intelligence. So is it all a threat to spirituality to say that what we see in alien communication today is most certainly the same communication we had with the angels and what the prophets had with God, non-human intelligence that cared for this planet and nurtured it like a shepherd, as a shepherd, you know, nurtures his flock? Now, again, I'm not combining the angels and the aliens and the demons and what have you. What I'm trying to tell you is that if we give them the topic of non-human intelligence, rather than calling them demons or angels or whatever, we just say, hey, it's advanced non-human intelligence, or it's non-human intelligence, not of this planet, then yeah, we can throw aliens in with the demons. We can throw, you know, everything in with the bathwater. But no, if you want to separate them into substance, like I like to, because I don't like my peas and carrots touching each other, then I look at it and I say to myself, well, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a whole plethora of non-human intelligence. All non-human intelligence out there or in the inner world or in the outer world or in the interdimensional world, all of these non-human intelligences, whether advanced or not, have been created by who? Another greater non-human intelligence that we call God. A group of developers, God. The grand order of developers, God. All of that, God. And it's not hard to put that together, and it's easier to say, well, in my spiritual world, I believe that there is a non-human intelligence that is God. I believe in a non-human intelligence that was imbued upon Jesus Christ. I believe, you know, if you believe the Quran, if you believe whatever you believe, it's all about the idea that we've had non-human intelligence, advanced non-human intelligence, having communication with mankind. Otherwise, you know, the whole ancient alien theory is bust. I just say that if this is the thing that's holding us up, I'm hoping that with the redefining of what we're dealing with, I think people will have more of a better attitude about their spirituality and how allowing this to be revealed is not something that's going to dampen their belief in God. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. let's go to the phones, 503-225-0860. Go to Bill right now. You're calling from Hawaii, right, Bill?
Yes.
All right, man. What's up?
Hey. Well, nothing. I've heard you talk about it, about the dolphins and the other non-human intelligence that mm-hmm. we live with on mm-hmm. this planet already,
yes.
you know, forever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. No, I mean, and we don't understand how they communicate, you know?
I mean, yeah, I always think about that with the cats in my home. I mean, our one cat can say hello. How did it learn how to say hello? It does. It literally says hello when it talks.
There is a bird in Hawaii called a mina, and it can be taught to talk also, like a parrot.
Right. So how do we know they don't understand? I mean, why, if they can form words, do they understand them? There are a lot of things we don't know about animals. But we do see that, as I was saying, and I've talked about this before with Matthew James Bailey and others, I would have plenty of faith if we were able to have what is called the organic singularity before we have the transhuman singularity, because that would mean that mankind advanced to the point where not only are they spiritually attuned, but they're also scientifically and in other ways they're in tune with what's going on around the world, putting them in a position. It's kind of like, what, Neo, or it's kind of like Planet of the Apes, where the apes learned to be in tune. I don't know if that's ever
so
going to happen.
We don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we need to understand, like you said, we have non-human intelligence around us all the time, but do we believe in advanced non-human intelligence? And I can tell you, if a person says, well, I believe in God, I'll say, then you believe in advanced non-human intelligence.
How about the Baphomet and the Knights Templar?
Yeah,
that's non-human intelligence that they have been believing in since they went to Jerusalem.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Well, what if it is all just hyperbole, where they know, everybody knows, that strange things happen. Bigfoot, you know.
Well, that's the thing, is that, what was
forever.
It?
No, but so they play on it. So they're like, okay, everybody has these, you know, thoughts from long ago in our DNA.
Well, okay, so there's this part, and I'm glad you brought this up, but I'm trying to think. I was reading about this the other day when I was preparing for this show. The idea that somewhere in the Bible it says, be kind to strangers, because you never know if you're entertaining angels. And they talk about the cherubim, yes. the seraphim, and living things, okay? The living things
are the things
you're talking about. And that is, too, what about Bigfoot? What about all these other things? These are living things that can be non-human intelligence. And you're bringing up a very excellent point, and it's a point that I didn't even think of, but now I'm thinking about it because when they describe the angels, they also describe living things. They don't specify, but living things can be advanced human intelligence or non-human intelligence.
It's almost like they're working with a mind virus.
Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, it's just we have to see in the end what it's all about. And like I say, the transparency with all things dealing with aliens has to be based in advanced non-human intelligence. Otherwise, people are going to say it's a conspiracy against their religious belief system. There is no one on this planet that believes in God that doesn't believe in non-human intelligence or advanced non-human intelligence, because God is an advanced non-human intelligence. And it doesn't, I mean, unless you believe God's a human, that God was a human at one time and became a God, that's one way to look at it. That's pretty hermetic. It's kind of Mormon-y, too. I mean, it's like just the idea of you can become a God. Man can become God. So this is where we're running into, you know, Mormonism. We're running into Scientology. We're running into all these other churches and religious beliefs. So it doesn't step all over their toes. You understand? Let's go to Richard in Oregon. Hey, Richard, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi. Hello, Clyde. It was weird last night what happened to your show. It seems like every time you talk about something like this, something always happens.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's almost like somebody doesn't want you talking about it.
Well, we're the only show that I know has had this problem. We have these problems all the time. And we do know that, you know, and we don't like to, you know, make it a big deal. But we do know that when we do talk about these uncomfortable topics, someone always has a way to pull the plug. And last night was one of those things, because I was trying to introduce a new idea of non-human intelligence being the way we change the narrative in order to get people to stop worrying about their spirituality being trampled on by the idea of aliens.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I will tell you personally, I don't think my spirituality would be affected by that because, I'll be honest, I'm atheist.
Okay.
But the thought of an advanced non-human intelligence, it's fascinating, but it is scary at the same time because these UAP sightings and whatnot. I was thinking, what if they were probes? What if the beings that were found at like Roswell were artificial beings?
Yeah, I've been talking about that at UFO festivals, talking about synthetic beings. Here's a question I have for you, since you say you're an atheist. You're probably more agnostic than atheist if you're believing in aliens. But here's a question I want to ask you. Is it far scarier to hear that we are not alone, or is it far scarier to hear that we are alone?
To me, it would be scarier to know that we are alone. Mathematically, I don't think we're the only species in the universe, but then again, we don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say, yeah, it's far scarier to think that we are alone. This is just some accident. It's a very good accident, but it just scares me to think that we could see this as just one big accident. There's no real meaning or purpose for anything. Great call. Let's go to Steve in Illinois. Hey, Steve, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wondering, another possible category might be human breakaways from pre-flood, antediluvian, Atlantean, and so on.
Yeah.
And that might be another category. And as far as the aliens, so-called aliens, I think they could all be angels, possibly.
Yeah.
Except the breakaways that I just mentioned. In that, I think, as far as I would believe, is that they can be they can commandeer the physical. I think angels can do that, just like you were just mentioning. You may be entertaining angels unawares, that type of thing. And
yeah, that angels unawares. I understand that. Yeah, I just have a hard time though. If you're looking at a substance separation, I'm all for that. But if we look at it from the aspect of just non-human intelligence or advanced non-human intelligence, I'm more than happy to put them all in the same character. In the same character base or in the same circle. Otherwise, I have a confusion. I don't know why that is. I don't know why I'm that way. Maybe I'm not even really anal retentive. I don't get why I'm that way, but I just am. I don't understand it.
What do you think about that idea that the human breakaway idea?
I think it's a brilliant idea. But we can sit there and say to ourselves that we had advanced Saurian beings that probably were upright walking reptilian beings that look a lot like us. They got smart. They were able to go underground and they were able to build ships. They were able to escape the planet, or maybe they went to another planet, or maybe even they left Mars and came here. See, and then that would be the true fall of man. Remember they said in the Bible, men fell. Well, maybe men fell from Mars to planet Earth. I mean, there's a lot of ways to interpret it. Certainly is.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right on. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, you look at the, what do you call those things, those islands that are out in the middle of nowhere. What do you call them? Archipelagos? Is that how you say the word? And archipelago? And they're these small islands that just disappear on the planet. They come back, they disappear, they come back and disappear. What if we have civilizations that live on those islands and then they have ways of hiding? And then eventually they come back up again and they have saucers or whatever. They're able to just leave the planet. That would be fascinating. Jerry Scott coming up on Ground Zero. Into the Parabnormal is his show. He's had it on our network for some time, but we're going to talk with him right here on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Face it, guys, we're living in times where the truth is becoming more suppressed and censorship is increasing at an alarming rate, especially on social media platforms. It's Clyde, and I want to tell you about a safe and secure digital playground we put together just for you. It's aftermath.media. You get access to thousands of Ground Zero archives and podcasts, along with our private social media groups with your basic membership starting at only $7 a month. Each subscription includes tech support, access to the RSS feeds, along with our own chat room and Telegram channel. In addition, the premium membership includes research study groups, webinars, a document and movie library, a live video stream of Ground Zero, a monthly Zoom chat with me, and other bonus content. Be sure to check out our yearly specials as well. Sign up today while you're thinking about it. Sign up at aftermath.media. Again, that's aftermath.media.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
see me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up. Give up. Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I want to make an announcement about Ground Zero Plus. You need to go there, and that's usually the place to go if you want to have your questions answered about what's going on with the move, how we're moving, and how we're doing. One of the things, though, that we want to announce is we are doing a crowdfunding because we are not sure of what kind of funds we'll be having if we continue doing what we're doing, and we're looking for the help of the listeners. We care about the listeners, and we want to make sure that everybody's taken care of, but this is going to cost us a lot more money, and we're really, you know, we're doing our best, and we really respect and appreciate everything you've done for us, and we're asking people to be heroes, be a hero for Ground Zero, because we truly appreciate those who are donating to our GoFundMe, where you can go see it at groundzeroplus.com site. You'll be able to see the link. But we've also thought to ourselves that we're going to do a drawing for five individuals, those who donated, anyone from, what, $5 to $500 to $5,000, whatever you decide to do, you get a free two-year subscription to our new digital membership platform, Ground Zero Plus, groundzeroplus.com. And you'll get archive shows, videos, documents, chat room, webinars, all of the things we had before, but even better now. We have people who are respecting what we have, and that's very good because you know, we're going from, you know, something that's really bad into something better. And I think you know exactly, for those of you that have been dealing with this and how frustrated we've been, you're now going to have a reprieve, and so are we. And so please go to our GoFundMe page. It's GoFundMe. Ground Zero needs your support now. GoFundMe. And remember, we're going to take five individuals and we're going to pick them for a free two-year subscription to Ground Zero Plus. So I really appreciate all the help, all the love that you've given us. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. While I was on the break, I was back to, we were talking about the non-human intelligence angle when it comes to describing what we're dealing with in space. And this is something I think if we change the narrative like they did with UAP, and we say it's non-human intelligence, they can't argue, even Christians can't argue that there's not a non-human intelligence or an advanced non-human intelligence that's guiding this world, okay? That does not interfere. Talking about a non-human intelligence in space does not interfere with God, in my opinion, because there's a guy named Dr. Hugh Ross, and I was looking at this. It was something that I put in the back of my mind, but I wanted to look up because we were talking about this earlier. Astronomer, physicist Dr. Hugh Ross, he's also a religious guy. He makes this convincing case about angels, okay? And he says that their beings have existed throughout eternity as God's messengers, and they operate like any beings would who are not confined to our space-time dimensions. Now, scientists know that there are more dimensions than humans can access, and we talk about interdimensional beings or ultra-terrestrial beings. But Ross has put together something in Salvo magazine. It says this: according to the Bible, these creatures differ from humans in that they are not constrained by either the known laws of physics or the known space-time dimensions. Rather, they exist in a realm distinct from the universe, yet have been granted power to enter the human realm for brief episodes, either in physical or non-physical form. So if you've got a causal agent behind space and time, especially an intelligent, non-human advanced intelligence that created the universe, there can be causal agents that could also create other things outside the universe and even grant the power to come into the universe and enter the human realm. So it's scientifically possible and plausible, knowing the dimensions, knowing what we're doing. CERN, Department of Energy, all these guys have said they tinker with the universe and they've been playing in the other universe. And in the Bible, we go to the angels and we go, yeah, angels are God's messengers. Angels are emissaries. They're ground soldiers. They carry out God's business, even the bad stuff. Okay? I mean, we have warrior angels that carry out a lot of ugly, bloody stuff. And I know that's a little uncomfortable for people who want to think they're soft and pretty, like we got cherubim, seraphim. But then we have the living creatures. They're not cherubim, they're not seraphim, but they're in that angelic category, or I would say the category of advanced non-human intelligence. The living creatures in this case can appear human, but they can also shapeshift. This is according to Ross. They can also shapeshift into animal forms. And so, again, I have a problem with Bigfoot being a supernatural being. But if, again, reading what some of the scientists believe, that we're dealing with an advanced non-human intelligence that can go in and out of dimensions. That would be Bigfoot. That would be Chupacabra. That would be any other cryptid, interdimensional being. And, of course, they share the same non-human intelligence attributes as angelic beings, both good and evil. Men in Black, for example. If you look at what John Keel had said about the Men in Black, what Jacques Vallée says about the Men in Black and says about aliens and everything else, it is similar to, if not, part of a spiritual experience here on planet Earth. Fifth kind encounters are like spiritual experiences on planet Earth, and that is because you are dealing directly with an advanced non-human intelligence from the times of, well, the antediluvian times. Before Adam and Eve, during Adam and Eve, we had, what, non-human intelligences that were guiding Adam and Eve, whether it was God, whether it was the snake. Noah was told to build an ark. Who told him to do it? Well, we say God did. But it was an advanced form of non-human intelligence. Moses got the Ten Commandments from non-human intelligence. Jesus claimed that he had the powers of advanced non-human intelligence. He was a God. He was from above. He said in the 8th chapter of John, he said, I am from above. You are not of this world. Oh, you are of this world. I am not of this world, he says. So when I hear people like Rubio and people like Schumer and others putting a hold on revealing the alien stuff, saying it could be a threat to spirituality, I would say, look, what communication we're getting, what things we're looking at that they bring us, the technology and everything else, it's the same we had with the angels, with the prophets, with God, Ezekiel's wheel, chariots of fire, pillars of fire, and would it be a threat? I think it would be a threat to Darwin's theories of biology and evolution to say that these beings are the future of mankind, or they were part of a past mankind that got smart, got off the planet. And there are others out there in space that share similar features as we do, only they've broken the barriers of death. They live forever in the presence of a power of creation so vast that we cannot even comprehend its existence. Jeremy Scott coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. We jump into the paranormal with Jeremy, so stay tuned for that right here on Ground Zero. Since we've had Jeremy Scott on the program, he is a radio professional of more than 20 years. He entertains those fringe topics that informs, entertains, and even damns the skeptics, I think. And he goes after the believers, the skeptics, everyone. He's got a very open mind and also a very objective mind. Of course, he has a background in radio and TV journalism, and he does a lot of intriguing radio each week with his program Into the Paranormal. It's syndicated on a number of, stations across the country. Same syndication as our syndication. Welcome, Jeremy, to Ground Zero.
Clyde, I learned it all from you, so, I mean, credit to you. Listen, no, I mean, seriously, I mean, you really go back at it. There was another name, Art Bell. I'm sure Art inspired you, but you yes. were the Art Bell of, I guess, the previous generation to me, because, I mean, I'm 42 years old, so I'm not
wow.
that old, right? So you go back, like, I mean, Art wasn't on the air 10 years ago, wasn't on radio, you know? So you were.
Yeah.
You are what got me into this.
Well, it's funny. It's like, and it was funny. I really didn't talk with Art when we first started. Art started the same time as I did, but I was doing local radio, and we were also broadcasting on the internet. We were the ones that gave Art his start in the internet, KCNR, where I worked earlier, and then towards the end, Art and I got close because I was working at KXL where you were working, and you were once my producer.
That's true.
At one time. And we were working together, and it was funny because he called me and he said, "Hey, Clyde, I really need 3 hours of your show time in order to broadcast over an ABC network." And I said, "Yes, of course I'll let Art Bell take over 3 hours." So we reduced our show, and Art took 3 hours of that, and then he passed away, which is sad. But yeah, we've been very supportive of Art Bell's Coast to Coast. I mean, I talk to George time and time and again, too, because, I mean, we see him all the time in California. He's a great guy. But yeah, we try to keep professional, and we talk to each other all the time about these topics. I think the biggest hang-up I've been having, and it's like I listened to you, and you say things like you're really happy that, you know, since 2017, I mean, we've had the New York Times story, we've had these whistleblowers, we have these, you know, we always see the same UFOs all the time. It's as if it's the only proof we have. We have whistleblowers coming forward. But I remember reading that one of the hang-ups they had about the idea of disclosure was the idea that there are some people that feel that a lot of these beings, of course, were conjured by a number of, like, for example, you got Blavatsky, you got the Vril, you've got the Nine, you've got all these people that were doing seances to try and contact these beings, and so they're worried that what we're dealing with is something that would be akin to witchcraft. And what I'm saying is that, you know, this is something that's been a hang-up about disclosure, because I think people say, well, okay, it's a threat to national security, but it's a threat to my spiritual security. And I would say the problem can be solved if we just regroup and say, well, we have something out there that's an advanced non-human intelligence, and it's God or it's something. But it's like if we put everything in that category, then, yeah, we can entertain demons and aliens and angels, I think. But what are your opinions?
Well, I mean, going down to it, I mean, at the center of it all, God created everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're taught. Both of you and I were raised Mormon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are not practicing members of the LDS Church
anymore.
No, it's
been, what, 30 years, 20 years now?
But we were also told the story of Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. And these weren't just normal animal species.
Right.
There were cryptids mm-hmm. on Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
People have said that Jesus himself is an extraterrestrial.
Right.
How do you explain being on the cross and being crucified and a normal man mm-hmm. does not survive that. And so if God did create everything, that means point stop.
Right.
He created everything.
Right.
And so that means angels. It means fallen angels. It means demons.
Yeah.
It even means Bigfoot
right.
and Dogman and werewolves
yes.
and vampires.
Yes.
And I mean, let's not stop. Let's keep going because he created everything.
But we have to, I mean, we've always had like vampires and werewolves and things of that nature. I mean, getting into the paranormal here. Werewolves and vampires together have been seen as evil. But what about the idea that they're just predatory and we give them these evil types of monikers saying that, well, I mean, yeah, we look at vampires, I don't think count because they are blood-sucking demons in a way. But we're looking at also werewolves, we're looking at all these other cryptids like the Chupacabra and others, and we say to ourselves, they're just predatory. They're not evil. I mean, I wouldn't want to come in contact with one. But they're predatory. So, yes, God created apex predators. What about aliens? Could they be apex predators? They could be, right?
Well, I don't view it as a positive experience when you're kidnapped.
Right.
When you're physically taken against your will.
Right.
And when procedures that you didn't sign up for are performed on you.
Exactly.
That inherently is evil.
But why do they walk away saying it was good for it's good for the world? Is this nonsense? I mean, what, they get mesmerized into saying, well, what they did to me was okay because I feel like I did it for the greater good.
Well, if I do something really bad to you, but then at the end I gave you a house or I gave you a car or I gave you a lot of money,
yeah,
you may change your opinion.
What about Stockholm Syndrome? What if we feel bad for these guys? I mean, think about it. They're small, they're diminutive, they're, you know, they look like babies. I mean, think about it. They are these little thin creatures that for some reason are strong enough or they convince you they're strong enough to kill you, harm you, or rape you. And yet we still do what they say. Now, that's something to be said about that.
Right. And so that they've got to have some sort of control over us. It's all about the control.
Right.
And they've got you from that initial encounter. Yes, they've got you with that shock factor,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And then from there, they're able to manipulate you.
Right.
And they're able to get you to do what they want.
You see, that's the thing is if you're to draw a T-square and you say alien demon, you could probably put traits for aliens that would be similar to demons. But see, I like I said, I still have that problem of mixing the two. And the reason why I do is because whenever I read somewhere that they may have found life on, like, Europa, okay? We may have life on Europa. I hear someone in the background going, oh, that's just a deception. That's the aliens are the fallen ones. And
people will say anything.
But see, that's the thing. That ruins the scientific thing. It's like, okay, so if it's scientifically proven that we have mollusks or freaking octopus living on Europa or living in the waters of Enceladus or whatever, and somebody says, well, that's a demon, then we're just going to backtrack everything and we're not going to study the science because everybody's afraid it's a demon. And that's what bothers me about it, I think, is that I don't want to have that mix. Now, if we're looking at non-human intelligence or advanced non-human intelligence, I'm willing to entertain the idea that this non-human intelligence can form as a demon, they can form as an alien, form as an angel, form as whatever, because this is how I was brought up. This is how you were brought up. And so if somebody says, well, I don't believe in aliens, you say to them, well, do you believe in God? Well, of course I do. Well, if you believe in God, then you believe in something that would be an intelligence far greater or some intelligence apart from your human experience.
So you have paranormal boundaries is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like. Exactly. I mean, you say somewhere between the paranormal and the abnormal.
Right.
So you have this place that you can put yourself where you're saying, well, that's kind of weird. It's like
right.
a picture kind of awkwardly put on a wall and you make a story about it. But see, that's the thing about evolution and that's the thing about human life and the idea that, wait, we have people out there that have Neanderthal in them. We have other people that have strange bloodlines. What is this about? And see, how is it that it happens? Well, the answer would be something out there that imbued upon mankind this intelligence and taught mankind this intelligence, and it was superhuman, and eventually we can be that same superhuman.
See, I don't think this is going to be a foundational shock. I think we can handle the truth. I think we have been prepared for this
right.
for many, many years. And if not our generation, Clyde, whose generation?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Jeremy Scott with us tonight. Into the Parabnormal. Find out where you can listen to him now. We are going to also bring him over on our network when we move on, because he is an intricate part of the Ground Zero Network right here. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Just a bug. Better put your goggles on.
Just a bug. We humans like to think we are nature's finest achievement. Afraid it just isn't true. This archaic sand beetle is superior in many ways.
Here are some of the many things we don't know about heptapods. Greek, heptas 7, pod, foot, 7 feet, heptapod. Who are they? Trying to answer this in any meaningful way is hampered by the fact that outside being able to see them and hear them, the heptapods leave absolutely no footprint. How do they communicate? Here, Louise is putting us all to shame. The first breakthrough was to discover that there's no correlation between what a heptapod says and what a heptapod writes. Unlike all written human languages, their writing is semisiographic. It conveys meaning. It doesn't represent sound. Perhaps they view our form of writing as a wasted opportunity, passing up a second communications channel.
But before you let that go to your head, take the example of the Arachnids, a highly evolved insect society. By human standards, they are relatively stupid. But their evolution stretches over millions of years. And now, they can colonize planets by hurling their spore into space.
Are they scientists or tourists? If they're scientists, they don't seem to ask a lot of questions.
Do you think they would naturally look something that even is recognizable to us as life?
You're listening to Ground Zero. Jeremy Scott with us tonight on Ground Zero. Into the Parabnormal is his program. And, you know, just to back you up, Jeremy, there is actually a scripture in the Bible, since I am sort of a dime store biblical
going back
scholar.
To church tonight, huh?
Going back to church. There's this Colossians? You're just not a Bible guy.
No.
See, I was a good
my
Bible.
Parents, if they...
I was a good Bible guy. So let me tell you, Colossians, I think. So you say it, Colossians. I don't know. Let's just do the scripture. I looked it up.
Not Thessalonians?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not Thessalonians.
Okay.
No. Thessalonians is a lot easier to say than Colossians.
Okay.
It's all Star Trek. It's all Star Trek to me. Okay. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That's basically what you said.
There you go.
But everything was created by God. Heaven and earth was created by God. Everything visible and invisible was created by God. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all created by God. All things have been created through him and for him. Invisible things. Living creatures, as we said. The seraphim, the cherubim, and the living creatures. The cryptids. All been created. Aliens. Well, we call them aliens, but they're really the advanced... human, non-human intelligence. Because God is an advanced non-human intelligence.
True.
So, I mean, what's the hang-up? That's the thing is, I was reading about that whole thing where the thing that's keeping us from having full disclosure is the hang-up about our spirituality. If aliens do exist, would the gospel change at all? I mean, would Jesus Christ change at all? I mean, the whole idea behind religion is not whether or not Jesus existed, It's whether or not Jesus was crucified. That's what I see. I mean, if he didn't die on the cross or if he didn't give up the sins and whatever, there's no reason to have a religion. Mm-hmm. So to sit here and to worry about alien beings as some way to detach ourselves from the religion, I think it's stupid.
I think Ronald Reagan back in 1987 said it best. You know where I'm going here, Clyde.
Yeah.
I mean, because this world is in shambles right now.
Mm-hmm.
What about a one-world religion? Mm-hmm. What about a religion where we just honor all beings? Because Ronald Reagan did say perhaps we need some outside universal threat
right.
to make us recognize this common bond.
Right.
He said, I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Right.
What is more alien than thee, and is not an alien force already among us?
Right.
So Ronald Reagan back in 1987 obviously was alluding to the fact that alien disclosure would unite the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So would it? Would Mormonism exist? Maybe not. Would Catholicism exist? Maybe not.
Would Scientology exist?
I think parts of every religion might exist.
But okay, let's go back to Mormonism. Since you're a Mormon or ex-Mormon like me.
Jack Mormon.
Most of us are like, you know. Let me just discuss this with you, because I did an article that's going to come out in Paranoia Magazine about Joseph Smith. What did Joseph Smith claim? He claimed that he saw a pillar of light come down, and he saw two personages that said, no church is true, that start his own church.
Right.
Joseph Smith could have had an alien encounter, yeah. And the whole church could be based on an alien encounter.
Yeah, and they don't talk about that.
No.
In fact, I went to Mormon church 10 days ago, Clyde.
Oh, wow. I haven't even stepped into one in years. So
yeah. It wasn't here in Oregon. Okay. It was in Idaho. But, I mean, you talk about an opportunity to really be relevant there. And, of course, they were talking about the devil tempting you, and why does the devil tempt you, and
yeah.
He does it through planting fake news, and here's all these examples of fake news, and yeah. I'm thinking, why don't they talk about non-human intelligence? You know, why not throw that into the equation? I sensed a little bit of reluctance, which probably means like from the actual head of these churches, say the Vatican or in Salt Lake for the Mormons and the headquarters of all these other religions, there's official pushback.
Right.
But at the local level, you know, the bishops and the pastors may, you know, have a little bit of leniency to talk about this with their congregations.
Well, see, this is the thing that bothers me, is I always think to myself, if you can't tell the difference between God and an alien, you have a problem. Okay? If you were raised in a church, or if you were raised believing in God, I really don't see how the existence of aliens would impact the gospel's validity in any significant way. It wouldn't. It just wouldn't. Because then we'd be able to rethink our narrative here. The Ezekiel's wheel. I mean, what's so hard in thinking, well, that looks exactly what people describe as a UFO or a chariot of fire. It's a flying chariot that's on fire. It's a flying vehicle. What if we said it's a car of fire? There's a flying car that's on fire. I mean, how did they describe those UFOs when we have the Chinese balloon flying around? They look like cars flying through the air. What about the drones? They look like SUVs flying through the air. I mean, this is how we describe things when we don't know how to put them into words. We see it in a certain way. It's like what we look at. What is it? The explorers. Okay, all these people sitting here on this island, and they're saying, "What's coming?" Well, it looks like us, but it's not us. Why is it not us? Because they don't have the same color skin we have.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a different color skin, but they look a lot like us. To them, it'd be like UFOs landing and aliens landing on the planet, and that's how we would be. It looks like us, but then again, there's some things that, you know, are kind of different, right? And that's what I'm seeing here, is I'm seeing that we shouldn't blow it out of proportion. We should say, well, what if they do look like us, but they have, like, maybe gray skin, or they have, you know, maybe a third eye or something. I don't know.
And I don't mean to throw wrenches, but what about, instead of non-human, what if we replace the non with part human?
And that would
Does
be,
that change things
it
at all?
Would. It would because, well, I don't know. Let's talk about that coming up. Jeremy Scott, good conversation tonight. If you want to call in and contribute to it, I have a few lines open. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. This is Flying By Fast, so get in and call tonight. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. With us tonight on Ground Zero, into the Parabnormal. Jeremy, where can we find you? You're all over the country now. You've been syndicated. Same company that syndicates us, by the way. Where can we hear you?
Just go to parabnormalradio.com. I know you want to put in paranormal radio, but just make sure you put the B in there. And, of course, we'll be up on your site shortly, the Paranormal Radio app. And, of course,
yeah.
Radio stations all across the country.
We welcome you back to the Ground Zero Network. You're going to be on board with us soon, and that's great because we're setting up the platform again with some of the hosts that, of course, have been treated badly, and they're moving over to the new site, and we're very happy about that. So thank you so much for sticking with us through this transition. I want to read something to you. The Epstein files were released. Nothing, big nothing burger because, you know, like you were saying, they were like handed off and no one said anything. It's really been no big deal. But I want to talk to you about what Kash Patel had said about the FBI and how they're going into a new era. He basically, well, he was talking about the Epstein documents, but he was talking about all things related to FBI documents that are covered up. He said, the FBI is entering a new era, one that will be defined by integrity, accountability, and the unwavering pursuit of justice. There will be no cover-ups, no missing documents, and no stone left unturned. And anyone from the prior or current bureau who undermines this will swiftly be pursued. He further added, if there are gaps, we will find them. If records have been hidden, we will uncover them. And we will bring everything we find to the Department of Justice to be fully assessed and transparently disseminated to the American people as it should be. So, let's talk X-Files. Do we think the X-Files would be revealed?
The official X-Files?
Yeah.
Or the ones that have been sugar-coated. I mean, those are two different things.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say, you know, look, Blue Book maybe, I don't know. Blue Book would give us nothing. Majestic 12 would give us...
People think those are fake anyway.
I know, but they're not.
The MJ-12 documents?
Yeah,
are
I
real?
Know. Huh?
The MJ-12 documents are real, Clyde?
Truman organized them. He organized MJ-12. He did. I mean, look, maybe...
I believe the group was real,
yeah,
but were the documents.
Stanton Friedman said yes, and then he said no. He's not sure. You got to be careful with all this stuff. Right.
It's a can of worms.
Well, I mean, if you lay on the side of no, you're not going to look like a fool if they're proven to be wrong. That's, again, Pascal's wager. If you say it's fake, and it is fake, you know, you have nothing to lose. If you say it's fake and it's not fake, you say, wow, I thought it was fake. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like you got to be cautious. I would just say this, though. If they're having all these organizations together to investigate UFOs and they bring up, you know, a lot of intrigue and then they turn around and they twist it the other direction, I think, though, that we need to put Kash Patel, his feet to the fire and say, listen, you're talking about documents that need to be overturned. Okay, we got the Kennedy, we got the other Kennedy, and we got the Martin Luther King stuff. We're going to get the Epstein stuff. Now what's next? The UFO stuff.
Yeah, or they do 9/11, and then they get to UFOs.
Or the 9/11 stuff. I don't even think they'll do that. Because we have people who are alive that could be arrested.
Well, let's just subpoena the aliens and bring them in.
Yeah, that'd be something, too. Let's go to Seth in Florida. You're on with Jeremy Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought, logically, it made more sense that it was sort of a, you know, God was a otherworldly entity. You know, I think that's always been kind of the problem with, you know, what humans kind of do with religion is it never made sense to me that if God created every human. Why should we hate this other group that praises this other god when most of your world religions are very similar?
Yeah,
have more similarities and differences.
Yeah.
So it seems like you're praying to the same entity. And you know, I mean, another example. I always thought I can't remember. Was it Oral Roberts who did the, you know, the Lord's going to strike me dead if I don't come up with a certain money?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which never made sense, since, you know, you figure God can create nature and trees and animals, but apparently copying George Washington's face on a dollar bill is tricky for, you know, some poker game with Shiva or whatever. I don't exactly.
Well, it's true. But see, this is the thing, is that people don't see an inclusive religion is something we want. They, of course, again, we go back to, and I've been stuck on this because of the eschaton and the nudging that's been going on. But if it's not Christian, it's anti-Christian, okay? If it's anti-Christian, then most of the Christians in the world are not going to pay attention to it, or they're going to declare it as something to condemn. And so this is where we get into the fight over who the Antichrist is. This is where we get into the fight of whether or not there is an Antichrist, and whether or not the Antichrist is going to be communicating with non-human intelligence that may be from the south side of the fence. You know what I'm saying? So this is how it gets into this paranormal thought process, and people get scared. They just don't want to believe that it's real, even though they say they're believers, and that bothers me. What do you say, Jeremy?
Yeah, it bothers you that people say aliens and gods, you know, and whether they're the different or they're the same. Whether we're talking about non-humans or aliens here, we're talking about something that is part something else. That's really what we're talking about.
Right.
And all throughout the Bible, you know, there's countless examples, you know, the Nephilim, and the list goes on and on.
But we don't – but see, that's the thing. Is they want to paint everything as the Nephilim or the Nephilim. Oh, it's all Nephilim. It's all Anunnaki. It's all – come on. No, give me a break. There's the Grigori. There's the others. There's so many different factions, so many different ideas that we can play with here that I just think sometimes we miss the entire boat. Seth, great call. Thank you for calling the program. Let's go to Jeff in Minnesota, right? Jeff, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's good. Let's not tell everybody where I am. No, I'm in Michigan.
You're Michigan. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I used to practice. I got interested in magic when I was younger. And I read this book called The Necronomicon.
Yes.
I read about this Golden Dawn and astral travel and that, and this all these other guys involved with that. So I figured I'd go out and practice this some by myself out in a wooded area that's out, you know, out here with no one around. And, you know, I figured, well, I used to be a martial artist, you know, studying on this. So I figured, well, I'll see if I could fight a demon, you know. So I tried to raise demons, you know, held these rights. Well, nothing really came of that. Nothing, you know, really much. But after I had performed these rites sometimes, that's when I started seeing UFOs. And it was a while later, I decided to start experimenting with Ouija boards.
Yeah.
So I started getting invited to parties, you know, and people were, but they were kind of excited at first. And then after a while, some, you know, strange things started happening in that, you know, and they couldn't handle it. So I got kind of like a social outcast as people stopped inviting me to their parties. You know? So anyway, a while after that, I had a close encounter with a UAP or a UFO, what do you want to call it? And, I continued on, and I started dreaming. I just got lazy, and I stopped using Ouija boards because really there was no one to work it with, and I didn't like working it by myself.
I need to wrap up because we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Well, I learned how to design. One of my desires was to be able to design anything I could imagine and be able to design it in a way it could be built simply, and I've done it.
What have you designed?
I can design anything.
Wow.
I'm working on stuff people don't even know about. Like, one of the things is an atomic battery transformer. Very simple device, and it works. You know, so...
So I guess you could call yourself a latter-day Tesla, right?
No, I wouldn't put myself... Tesla was a college man. I dropped out of college.
Oh, okay, well, you're a self-taught human being for that matter, then. Jeremy Scott, again, where can we listen to you?
ParabnormalRadio.com on the TalkStream Paranormal Radio app and on Ground Zero Radio.
Fantastic. GroundZeroPlus.com. GroundZeroPlus.com. Go there now. Find the link. Sign up. We got our new program happening. And remember, we are doing a crowdfunder where if you do donate, you can be one of five people able to get a two-year subscription to our new platform on groundzeroplus.com. Coming up, Katie Page, to talk more about this topic and your phone calls. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Paranormal Talk Radio, you'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Aliens, bioduplication, nude conspiracies. Oh my God.
Clyde Lewis was right.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see
me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see
me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis. And this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. A recent study from Penn State has challenged the long-standing notion that the emergence of intelligent life was an astronomical fluke. Instead, researchers argue that life develops in response to planetary conditions and intelligence may be an expected outcome when a planet reaches the right stage of habitability. From a theological perspective, this raises an extraordinary possibility. God's creative hand is not limited to Earth. If intelligence is a built-in feature of planetary evolution, then other inhabited worlds have to exist, even reaching its own moment of spiritual revelation. And so the idea that God would create only one world with sentient beings seems increasingly unlikely, especially if evolution is part of his divine process. I know a lot of that sounds like blasphemy, but think about it on a practical level. Remove the Hallmark card version of God, the Hallmark card version of religion, and think about this. Rather than encountering completely unrecognizable entities, we may find life that, despite its alien chemistry, follows the same fundamental design principles. Perhaps when we look beyond Earth, we will not see life as an improbable accident, but a cosmic inevitability, one that's shaped by the very structure of reality itself. God creates man in his own image, or what he sees the image man should be. An advanced robot, or an advanced cyborg, or some sort of advanced organic machine. I mean, think about human history. Okay, as I said, I was saying this with Jeremy, and I want to point it out again. When you have these guys coming over on ships, okay, they're coming to the New World, and they cannot be more different than the native people of the land. Their skin color, their eye color, yeah, different, right? Their clothing, their mannerisms, different. But they still look like humans. They're still similar to the natives in basic ways. So this would be like a religious, let's take a look in the mirror moment. I mean, what if aliens come and say to us, we're here to tell you the good word. We're here to tell you God's word. What would happen then? What would be the response? It all becomes complicated. Hi, we're here to tell you that God loves you. Would you trust that? I mean, think about it. I mean, if we have, I mean, what if that good word had an uncanny resemblance to the Bible or the Quran or maybe even the Talmud? Would that confuse people? If those things were, you know, discussed, some of the principles, not necessarily word for word. We're talking about principles, basic principles that we can all agree upon. I mean, you get the lenses you're born with, right? You interpret things on a level that is most comfortable for you. And I don't know if this would go as far as putting people out of their comfort zone by saying, well, they came here and they said a few things that we can relate to. A lot of things I don't relate to, but it's all part of the basic story. That's the thing, is that it's a basic story that's been told for millennia. Okay, for millennia it's been told, and we keep telling this story over and over again and over and over again and over and over again. And for some reason, we've had thousands of years in a belief in intelligent life outside of the earth. Okay? Intelligent life, non-human intelligence, something outside of the earth. Aliens, that, of course, was something that happened later. And it's still more often ridiculed than not. But today it's a very different story. If, I mean, anymore, it's absurd not to at least entertain the idea. People go, well, yeah, nah. Well, you're like, what? See, that's the thing. Donald Trump, when he was asked about it, he says, well, not particularly. I don't believe it particularly, but I believe what the men tell me. It's basically his half-assed way of saying, yeah, I believe. Can you imagine what would happen if he said, yes, I believe in aliens? Can you imagine what they would do? Can you imagine what the left would say about him? Sure, I mean, we have plenty of people in politics right now that can say, let's examine this alien theory. Let's have these investigative groups. Let's meet on the Hill and have an alien special. Let's talk about it, right? See, we are understanding. We are learning about other planets. We are learning more about our solar system. And as the universe grows, we're collectively realizing that intelligent life has to exist, or we hope, like heck, we hope that it exists outside of the Earth. But even though attitudes are changing, I would say this, there is still a fair or a hell of a long way to go until we can have sincere, open discussion in the mainstream. Where it becomes the norm, the snicker factor goes away, and people stop, you know, acting as though that they're up above it. They don't. I don't believe in aliens. Well, okay, you don't have to believe in aliens. That's not the point. I mean, because we need to be mature and understand that all the while it's been the norm. When we gather in churches, when we gather in mosques and synagogues, it's all part of the same reason. It's all because we believe in some non-human intelligence. Some advanced non-human intelligence for guidance. We commune. We commune with non-human intelligence for guidance. We commune by praying to non-human intelligence for guidance in heaven, in space. Ask yourself why you do that. Why do we pray to the heavens? Why do we say when people die, they go to heaven? They go above. Some people go below, but more or less we say it's above us. When it can be surrounding us. In theological terms, God as a non-human intelligence means that the concept of God transcends human limitations in understanding. And that implies that God possesses intellect and consciousness beyond what we can perceive or experience as humans. What's wrong with that? Is there anything that steps all over your belief system? And you know, and if it does, I want to hear from you. If what I'm saying steps all over your belief system, I'd like to know why. Because I would like to say to all who feel aliens are satanic delusion, there seems to be this compatibility with aliens in all angelic forms, but how is it that it shakes your spiritual form to a biological form to, I mean, I don't get it. I just even contemplating it can throw me off. Because, like I said, I like to separate my angels from my aliens, but I'm well aware of how all of this can be determined to be one thing and how it's said as gospel, even though it's a postmodern interpretation for proof of deception. It's not proof of anything. It proves that we can limit our mindset. It proves that we cannot have open minds with regard. I mean, the beings described in ancient scriptures, I know, bear uncanny similarities to modern phenomena of UFOs and aliens and non-human encounters. But is it all just a question of semantics? Yes, I think so. And I think the key difference here is how you frame the narrative. It's always about how you frame the narrative. It's either we have divine messages serving God, or we have advanced extraterrestrial entities from other planets. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. That's 503-225-0860. Very good discussion that we're having. And it's because I need to get it off my chest, literally, about the hang-ups. And it, like I said, we had the hang-ups before with what was happening with the speaking on the Hill. When they were talking about, you know, what was holding up the progress with the UFOs, what was holding up the progress with, and it was saying that, you know, some people see it as as an attack on their spirituality. And I'd say, okay, well, I can see it as a problem with what would be national security. I can see that. I just don't understand how it would be a problem with spiritual security because of the fact that we all, well, most of us, not all, but a lot of us believe in non-human intelligence that exists in heaven. God, okay? Grand Order developers, you know, Grand Order whatever, we believe in that, okay? We have non-human intelligence in many forms. The Bible said there's non-human intelligence in many forms. Adam and Eve dealt with non-human intelligence. Noah dealt with non-human intelligence, told him to build the ark. Moses got the Ten Commandments from non-human intelligence. Enoch, if you read about him, he met up with non-human intelligence all the time. Who else? I mean, just go down the list of every prophet in the Bible had some sort of, I guess you could say, inspiration from some non-human intelligence. And so tonight, we have decided to bring Katie Page on the program. She has a personal ties to the High Strangeness Ranch in Colorado, now known as the Rocky Mountain Ranch in UFO folklore. It was known as the Clearview Ranch and predates the infamous Skinwalker Ranch by over a decade. This motivated her interest in ufology to find answers to her experiences and uncover the truth about what was happening there. She's CEO of Rocky Mountain Ranch Research and is a co-host of the UAP Studies podcast hosted by Jason Gelmet and Dr. Michael Clausen. Katie can be seen on History Channel's Beyond Skinwalker, The Unexplained with William Shatner, Travel Channel's UFO Witness, Gaia's Beyond Belief with George Norrie, Small Town Monsters on the Trail of UFOs, Night Visitors, The UFOs Revisited, as well as Ron James' film, Accidental Truth. Katie's an independent investigator. Glad to have her on the program tonight. Hi, Katie. Welcome to Ground Zero.
Well, hi, Clyde. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here and a very interesting topic that you're covering tonight.
I think it's necessary to cover this, and the reason why is because I'm still trying to find a reason. You know, they're revealing all of these, like, you know, the Kennedy stuff, the Martin Luther King stuff, the Epstein lists and whatever, and even Cash Patel says that they're going to reveal more documents from the FBI. And I'm saying to myself, the biggest hang-up that I got from reading about the UFO disclosure is that there are a lot of people that feel that it's going to harm people's spirituality. And I'm making the argument that if we look at it from the standpoint of an advanced human, non-human intelligence, I think we all can agree that it exists and that it doesn't disprove God. It just makes it even more interesting. What do you think?
Well, for sure. And first of all, I just have to say you picked a really interesting person to have this conversation because, you know, just a little background here. I grew up a very non-traditional religious background. Mm-hmm. My mother, who just passed away July of last year, she was a seeker in all things spiritual. So she would change religions every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from Scientology to Jehovah's Witness to, you know, I was baptized Lutheran and all that. But I think you're right. I think so many of us from the time we're children, we know there's something else out there in the universe. We look up, we talk to whoever it is we believe in, whether it's spirit guides, angels, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting being a person who's studied and researched and had experiences at these high strangeness locations like the Skinwalker Ranch, because people, for whatever reason, just like we've heard through the years, Congress and other people are afraid there's this demonic connection to these places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I kind of have to go up against all the time and sort of, you know, yes, there's some scary things going on with animal mutilations mm-hmm. and whatnot, but just because that's going on doesn't necessarily mean it's demonic in nature. And,
well,
and I'm with you. I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, you go to the Bible, okay, and you look at the Christmas story, all right? And it's saying that there were shepherds watching over their flocks by night. And then the angel appeared to them. Glory showed all around them, but they buried their faces because they were sore afraid. Why were they afraid of looking at an angel? I mean, angels are supposed to be beautiful and seraphim and cherubim and all that. Maybe the angels weren't so beautiful. Maybe they looked like aliens. Maybe they had a face that they couldn't look upon because they were afraid they were going to die. I don't think anybody interprets it that way because we're so used to the Hallmark card version of religion that we don't realize that everything has a natural definition to it. God is a natural definition to everything, whether it be trees or water or Greenlands or whatever. It's all natural and beautiful, and it's there for us to appreciate. So then we have beings that are not human, and they even call them the living beings. They're the cherubim, seraphim, and the living beings. So what are the living beings if they're not angels? They're just something else. They could be cryptids, like what you're talking about, skinwalkers. It could be Bigfoot. It could be anything. And then we have the other living beings that could be more or less human, but non-human in a sense that they don't belong on this planet, so therefore they're extraterrestrial.
Right. And that's something I think we all should ask ourselves. I mean, you look at, you know, the snake or anything that scares certain people, it doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. They're necessary. Mm-hmm. We need them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Everything is created.
Are you there, Katie? Katie, I hope we didn't lose the phones again. Katie's gone silent, guys. Are we okay? Katie, are you there? All right. All right, we're having some problems here. Let's put Katie on hold. Oh, we can't put Katie on hold because somebody has gone in and they've messed with our phones again. We just lost the phones again. See, this is the second night in a row this has happened. And we are curious as to why this happens. But it does happen. And so that's what we're stuck with here on Ground Zero, and we're really, you know, we're really sad that this happens because we really want to do a good show for you, but it seems that somebody or some group wants to sabotage it now, and we rarely have these problems. We don't have it. We haven't had it in this type of frequency before. So, but see, I have to go back and say to myself that there's so many opinions here about spiritual experiences, so many opinions on what people say they've experienced, that if you're brought up in a religious group or a religious background, you would say that if you had some sort of strange experience, pillar of light, whatever, you'd say it's an angel. If you didn't have that, you'd say it was an alien. But then again, it would have to somehow fit that mold. Because like I said, you're born with the lenses you have. You're born into a religious belief. You're born into the idea of what angels are. And, you know, for me, I was never told that angels had wings. I was told that that was some Renaissance idea, that some imaginative idea that angels don't. And see, and I don't believe angels have wings. I just don't. Even though they're depicted that way, oh, that's an angel that has wings. I just don't believe that. Now, you may believe that. whenever I hear people say, oh, I saw an angel's wing, I'm going, no, you didn't, because there's no such thing as angel's wings. Angels are more human. They look human, but they were even made before we were, according to what you read in the old writings. So, yeah, I guess it's all a matter of faith. It's all a matter of belief. But in the meantime, you know, we have that uncertainty that we're dealing with and the questions that need to be asked. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We hope we're not having a repeat of last night. We hopefully will be back. Stay tuned. We've got more to cover right here on Ground Zero. Tonight, Katie Page is with us. Got her back on the phones. It was only a temporary glitch for, gosh, a lot of things ironing out right now, but we appreciate your support. So, Katie, you were talking about, like, we're talking about snakes. We're talking about how, you know, they may look scary, but they're not scary. This brings up another thing that has always been on my mind about the aliens. We better be, you know, I think we should be aware that if the aliens are not anthropomorphic, we're not going to accept them. You realize this.
Yeah, because look how we react to spiders.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said if they look like lobsters, we'll get our lobster bibs out and get the butter. That's how I see it.
Yeah, yeah. Probably.
Look at me in a lobster bib.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think there's glitches right now. The Schumann residence is doing crazy things, and all the planets are aligning, so I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, it's so much in the eye, you know, of perception. Perception is so important. And then just to throw another glitch in it, I tuned into what's his name? Thomas Campbell and the whole "Are we in a simulation?" And yes. if that's the game, then anything goes, right? If we're in a simulated reality, so that's a whole other thing to look at. But yeah, I don't know what we do if even the reptilians. I mean, people just because they look the way they do, people just make that assumption that they're not good. But
yeah, but I mean, it's like I remember when I was a kid. Remember the Flea Stack? I don't know if that's your time where, you know, they have the Land of the Lost and they have the Flea Stack. And it was this, right. And the Flea Stack were like really scary reptilian looking beings with big black eyes. And then there was Enoch, who was this other Flea Stack, but he was brown and he had big eyes, but he was nice and he was wise. You know, never do we see the nice, wise reptilian aliens ever. We just see the mean ones. And that's the thing, right. Is that they're programming us to accept certain types of aliens, and we reject other types of aliens. And that's why, like I said, if they're going to have an emissary at all, he's going to have to look like us, otherwise we're going to declare war on them without even asking questions. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen, Arrival, is that what it's called, where they're talking mm-hmm. with the heptapods. There's seven-legged creatures that try to talk in ink blots, and they speak in metaphor, and we misunderstood them. When they talk about tools and weapons, they mean the same thing. Or, I mean, that's the thing, is that it's very, I guess you could say, novelty to say the aliens will land and they'll want to meet our leaders and we're going to have them there and everything's going to be really cool. No, what about communication? What about how we're going to keep them in an environment that's foreign to them? I mean, there's so many things that we don't think about. All we think about is we want the truth. We want disclosure. Well, disclosure is something that's going to be very complicated, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the story of Dr. Strangis, he was Christian, you know, valiant Thor,
yeah.
Pastor, came from Phoenix, and, you know, he was this good-looking man and, you know, talked with presidents, and he was accepted. So you're right about that. Like, if something that we were not comfortable with looking at comes down, right. Yeah, that's going to complicate things.
What
definitely.
Are your thoughts on Valiant Thor? Do you think he was the real deal?
Well, I might get in trouble and maybe I'll lose some fans or whatever, but I've never really believed that story too much, no.
Well, they made an American Horror Story about it, and it was kind of a weird thing, in fact, about Mamie Eisenhower and Valiant Thor having an affair, which I thought was weird. But anyway, that's not part
story,
of it.
Though. It's a nice story.
It is a nice story. And it's a nice yeah. story that, you know, a good-looking man from Venus fooled everybody in the was it Eisenhower or Nixon? One of the two. It was Eisenhower's.
Eisenhower.
Yeah,
Eisenhower,
it was Eisenhower's thing. So, but, I mean, we do know, though, that there have been deals being made. That there have been, I mean, there's plenty of documentation. Truman was just open all the time talking about flying saucer investigations. And so this is something that I think a lot of people forget.
For sure. And I think part of it, too, like if Eisenhower or whoever made a deal with ETs and they could, you know, take so many or abduct so many of our people or
yeah.
do something to our animals,
yeah.
then that has an evil overtone to it, and it's scary. And I've read things, you know, through research and stuff that the truth might be so difficult
yeah.
and hard for people to even wrap their minds around that
right.
it will terrify a lot of people. So if it's something really dark like that,
mm-hmm.
I can maybe see where some of this fear is coming from.
Right.
But again, that perception piece, you know, just because we think something's bad, it might not be bad on another planet.
In your opinion, what is scarier, knowing that you're alone in the universe or knowing that you're not alone in the universe?
I would say knowing we're alone in the universe.
Me too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's more comfortable
sure.
to think that we have. But see, then we have, like I said, we've got God, we've got angels, we've got all these other beings that we tend to think exist. But again, if you just level it all down into some abstract, or not even abstract, some sort of a file. Like if I was to have a file and I put aliens, demons, angels and all that into one file, it would be called non-human intelligence. Whether it's advanced or whatever, that's what it would be, non-human intelligence. Because it's intelligence. It thinks, it communicates, it shows up, but it's not, we can't define it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And
yeah,
we can't assume, like, even Sasquatch, you know, there's Stan Gordon and the connection between a Sasquatch and the UFOs. Are they a whole other species of
right.
themselves? Is there a planet of Sasquatch? Are they intelligent? What are their intentions?
And see, again, I don't know why I have hang-ups about this. I go to Bigfoot conventions. When they start wheeling out the, I guess you could call it the interdimensional Bigfoot, I go, okay, yeah. You know, I have no problem with the idea of a strange species of mountain ape living in the Pacific Northwest. I have no problem with that. when they start saying Bigfoot came to me in a wall of light and he told me and he telepathically spoke to me and wanted to have a smoke. I don't know why it drives me crazy, because I first want to look at it as material far more before I want to look at it as something spiritual. But it's there. It's something we have to deal with, and maybe I have to grow up. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. Katie Page.
So you don't like the smoking dog either.
The smoking dog?
Yeah.
Well, I had a dog once. He smoked, and I got rid of him. I just couldn't handle it. One of those things. He later died of lung cancer. You know how that goes. Anyway. Katie Page was tonight on Ground Zero. We're going to get to the phone. Of course. Phones are ready to go. We've got full lines tonight. Thank you. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Massachusetts, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, I've been listening for about 10 years, so thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I've always heard is the debate between whether they might be demons or Nephilim, things like that. But I've never heard any radio show or podcast make the point that wouldn't you just say the name of Jesus? Like some experiencers have issues and they say the name of Jesus and they flee. And I just think that'd be obviously a good litmus test to see whether they're positive or negative entities.
Well, yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because I was looking at that as well, the idea that a lot of people say that if they raise their hand to the square and say the name of Jesus, the aliens flee. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, maybe it's another word in their vocabulary. I mean, maybe it means I have AIDS. I don't know. I just say that there's something that, you know, a lot of people say that if they say that, I don't know if it means it's demonic. What do you think, Katie?
I think it really comes down to what the individual having the experience believes. I mean, in near-death experiencers, we hear that what they experience on the other side really aligns with their beliefs here on Earth. So yeah. I feel like if they believe that, if they say the name Jesus or whatever you believe in, then we have more power to control, and I think we interact with them. The phenomenon more than people even believe that we do. So,
well, see, I had a near-death experience, and I didn't go to the light because I thought it was a trap. I thought, yep, if I go to the light, I'm dead. That's the thing I thought. I thought, I'm not going to the light. Sorry, not gonna. And people thought, why didn't you go to the light? I went back home. I went back to my body.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like something told me you go to the light, you're gone. Something told me that you go to the light, there's some guy on the other end with a mosquito, you know, trap, and you're basically go, that's it. I just didn't want to go to the light. And that's why I kind of say jokingly, don't go to the light. It's a trap, because you're not going to come back if you go to the light. That's for sure. Let's go to Kathy in Illinois. Hey, Kathy, you're on Ground Zero with Katie Page. Go ahead.
Hi. Everybody references Reagan's speech about how he wondered if aliens, you know, appeared and everyone would stick together to fight the aliens. But I saw Outer Limits episode, like the real old one, and from the 60s, mm-hmm. like season one, and like at the end, in like the season one, they would have a commentary at the end, the narrator would get a commentary at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. and in that episode, he said that people here on Earth wouldn't help each other to fight the alien.
So you don't think people would help each other to fight aliens?
It just makes me mad that everybody quotes that Reagan speech, but the Outer Limits episode said the opposite of what Reagan said.
Well,
and
did you ever see an Outer Limits called The Architects of Fear? Maybe that's when you're talking about where they actually faked an alien invasion.
No, was like this alien blob like beached itself on like some sand, and then these good people came along. They're like, "Oh, look, what's that?" And then these evil like mad scientists want to come and take it to a laboratory and study it. But that blob like called all his friends, and that's how it ended. Like they weren't the mad scientists wasn't able to get the blob because the blob called his friends and they all appeared on the beach.
Did you know? I want to tell you something. I don't know if you knew this, Kate. Do you know the blob's based on something real? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I did a documentary on Netflix. It's on Netflix, and I talk about the blobs that fell over Oakland, Washington and Oakville. And
I did one.
Yeah, and I'm on there talking about it. But what I found out is that the blob was based on the idea that this cop said he saw something fall from the sky. I think it was in Philadelphia. I have to look back into my Rolodex of rusty memory. But he saw this blob, he said, this blob of jelly or something that was in the crater where the thing landed. And he said he went to the phone to try and call it in. And by the time he went to the phone, that jelly or whatever it was climbing the telephone pole.
Oh,
so
no.
It was some sort of alien jelly, so alien goop. So, Kathy, thank you for reminding me of that. Let's go to David in Utah. Hey, David, you're on Ground Zero.
Mike, Clyde, you always blow me away with everything that you get. You're so well-read, and you catch me every night when I'm listening. you've mentioned so many things, spiders, angels with wings, vastness of space, and whether or not there are alien beings out there in all of the vastness of space. I think it's silly not to think that there isn't.
Right.
But a couple of things.
Okay.
I told you once before about Sasquatch and my Sasquatch story that turned out to be a black cow. Also, the spider thing. I almost died twice. Once by when I was a toddler trying to walk on water. The other time I was bit by a spider, so I shuddered most of my life until a childhood
friend. You didn't shoot any goo out of your wrist, did you?
No,
nothing like
but
that.
But I grabbed this. He grabbed this spider out of his spider web and stuck it in my face. And I said, if he can do that, why am I afraid of a spider? But the other thing that you mentioned is angels. You don't believe they have wings?
No.
Well, here's the story.
No.
My brother died when he was 11. I was 2. And he had about 3 instances where he spoke about what he was seeing very, very near the end.
Mm-hmm.
And he told my parents or my grandmother that he saw these pretty girls with wings who said that they wanted him to come with them. And then the very last time he was leaving to Ann Arbor Hospital in Michigan, where his records are still on file because his brain tumor was so, so rare. They thought he would die when he was 3.
Mm.
He lasted till 11. They did an autopsy on him, and his records are still there in Ann Arbor. But the very last time he left, he said, our grandmother, said to him, "Now hurry back, Victor." And he said, "Oh, Grandma, I'm not coming back this time."
Sorry to hear that.
And he didn't. He didn't come back. So,
well, at least he was going into good hands, right?
So there are communications with non-alien beings, but they are. Now, my mom had an experience with her mother. I had an experience with my mother. There is communication beyond the grave.
But that would be, that would be in the realms of what? More paranormal, wouldn't it? It'd be more like a ghost or a spiritual thing for you, wouldn't it?
Which one?
Well, what you were talking about. This is more of a spiritual thing, right? You felt something that would prompt and maybe be a faith-promoting experience for you, right?
No, when you hear voices. Not when you hear voices. Of course.
Well, no. I'm just saying, did that promote your faith? Is that something that, obviously it touched you in a spiritual way. Did that promote your faith in God some more? Is that helping you?
I got up onto an exceedingly high mountain, and that's where my faith comes from another time.
You connected. That's a beautiful thing, man. I've done that, too. I know that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Maybe you can share that with me sometime. I'd love to hear it. Okay, Dave?
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling the program. Thank you. Hey, Katie, where can we find more of you, read more about you, and just experience the world of Katie Page?
Yeah, you could go to Rocky Mountain Ranch Research with Katie Page on YouTube and on my website or katiepage.net.
Such a great guest. Thank you so much for being a part of the program tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a good night. Guys, remember, go to groundzeroplus.com. We're making the move. We need to have you make the move with us. And also, be sure to take a look at our GoFundMe crowdfunding. It helps us because we are right now in a struggle trying to keep it on the air. But we're doing fine. We're doing well, but we just need that extra boost, and we want your help. So please, we love you guys, and we're very happy that you support us through these hard times. In fact, it's a lot better than I thought it would be. And with your help, it's going to be even more special and unique. And we're very glad that you're out there. So please, go to groundzeroplus.com. Check out the crowdfunding. Check out everything else that's available to you. Remember, we're going to take 5 random people, give them a 2-year subscription to Ground Zero Plus. Keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it Ground Zero. Good night.